Well, hey guys.
Hey, Laurel.
Hey, Laurel.
So, do you guys have like that friend that you call to check in and like there's just always some kind of drama going on? Like there's always something.
I guess you having a problem with somebody?
No, it's not a person, really. It's Wisconsin. Like I feel like the state of Wisconsin is kind of turning into like that dramatic friend.
Okay, I kind of think I see what you're saying. So, like in other states, right? I imagine that when there's an election, they just decide who's going to be on the ballot and the ballots get printed and that's that. But in Wisconsin, there's all these court challenges that go up to the last minute on who's going to be on the ballot, and it could force millions of ballots to be reprinted.
Yeah, yep. That's exactly what I'm talking about, like right there.
Or like how in most states they probably have some idea about who's going to win the presidential election, but not here in Wisconsin.
Nope. We just got a new Marquette poll this week, and it shows that things are still really tight, even after the national political conventions and everything that's been going on in Kenosha.
Well, friends, I guess we have to dive into some drama. This is the WPR Politics Podcast. I'm John K. Wilson.
I'm Sean Johnson.
And I'm Laurel White.
This week on the podcast, checking in with our dramatic friend, Wisconsin. So I guess we should just say up front that we're recording this podcast Friday afternoon, and there is some news that has happened with the Wisconsin Supreme Court and mail-in ballots, but there's still a lot more news that theoretically could happen today after we start recording this. So we're just going to give it our best shot and lay out, the sort of lay of the land here, but also rely on the generosity of future John to maybe step in and let us know about any developments that come down.
That's
There
the
could be
plan.
a generous helping of future John in this segment of the
There could be. This is the
We'll
problem when
see.
you record a Friday podcast in your dramatic friend Wisconsin, where courts like to issue decisions on a Friday, in dramatic fashion. And like we've kind of gamed it out as to what could happen with a variety of court decisions, and we just feel like, gosh, we do not know how to like hedge this. So we're gonna rely on John in the future John, to fill in the details, hopefully. Actually, you know what? Should we just start there? It's just like throw it to future John, because I bet there have been developments since the time that we're speaking now. Let's find out. Future John, what can you tell us about what has happened today in the challenges involving ballot access in Wisconsin?
Nothing happened.
Well, thanks, Future John. I gotta say, we need you now more than ever. And I'm just so glad that you're on the podcast team and that you've decided to lend your talents to this podcast, because we have quite a lot going on today, and I just don't know how we do it without you. So, where should we start in the past, current
Uh-oh.
John, present John?
Well, I mean, I guess so. We're banking on the fact that there could be last minute announcements from courts on Friday. The way this kind of started was that there was a last minute after hours announcement from the Wisconsin Supreme Court yesterday on Thursday, after we had all thought that we were done working for the day. So what did they rule yesterday?
Okay, yeah, like how did we find ourselves in this situation? Another dramatic Friday evening, and really just kind of a dramatic run up to when ballots are supposed to get sent out. It is traced back to these two challenges we have talked about in this podcast. One by Kanye West, who wants to get on Wisconsin's presidential ballot as an independent candidate. He actually wants to run under the birthday party because, you know, birthday parties. He's trying to tap into that pro-birthday party demographic. And then the other challenge came from the Green Party's presidential ticket, Howie Hawkins and Angela Walker, who are also trying to get on the ballot. They filed their lawsuit directly with the Wisconsin Supreme Court. So in both instances, in different ways, the Wisconsin Elections Commission decided to keep them from the ballot. With Kanye West, the commission voted 5-1 that West turned in his petitions late. He turned his signatures in after 5 o'clock. The West campaign is saying that under the definition of 5 o'clock in the statutes, they're actually on time. But
listeners to past episodes will know that we've dissected the meaning of 5 o'clock in quite some detail.
Remember, we have a time traveler on our staff. And so we're very well versed in the meaning of time as well as any of us can be. So the case with the Green Party is a little more complicated. Staff on the Wisconsin Elections Commission recommended rejecting the Green Party's nominating petitions because they listed different addresses for Angela Walker, the vice presidential candidate for the Greens. The Green Party did not file a response to a complaint that sought to remove them from the ballot. So they missed that deadline. They didn't file any affidavits to clear up like which petitions listed the accurate address, which ones list the old address, stuff like that. So staff said, this communication could have cleared things up. They didn't do it. So we're recommending you stay off the ballot. The commission itself then split 3-3 on whether to allow the Greens on the ballot. 3 Democrats were against it. 3 Republicans were for it. We all thought this was going to tee up a court challenge. It just took some time. You know, that decision by the commission was back on August 20th. The Green Party didn't file its lawsuit, original action petition, before the Supreme Court until 2 weeks later. And so then, like late this week, the Supreme Court is saying suddenly to the state and to clerks, do not mail out any absentee ballots. And we want to know what you've done so far because we're still considering whether to decide this case. Have we gotten it up to, does that all make sense so far?
Yeah, I think so.
Thinking about where we will be when this podcast goes out compared to where we are right now. So what did the Supreme Court find out when it asked for this information from clerks? Well, it found out that at least 2.3 million ballots have already been printed by county clerks in Wisconsin. Why? Because they have a deadline coming up. By the 16th of September, they have to deliver those printed ballots to their municipal clerks. By the 17th of September, those municipal clerks have to send out those absentee ballots to people who have requested them. And remember, it's the year of COVID-19 and mail-in balloting. There have been a lot of requests for absentee ballots in Wisconsin. So municipal
mail-in
clerks,
balloting is hot right now.
It's hot. That's right. Especially in a dramatic state like Wisconsin, people want to be in on the latest thing, and it's mail-in balloting, absentee balloting, voting absentee by mail. So municipal clerks have this deadline of the 17th to start sending out these ballots to people who want them. Those are both under state law. Then there is this federal law that says that by the 19th, clerks have to send out absentee ballots to military and overseas voters. So we're recording this on the 11th. We're talking like next Wednesday, county clerks have to deliver these ballots. Next Thursday, municipal clerks have to send out the ballots for people who've requested them. And next Saturday is the deadline to mail it to military and overseas voters. So now you have all these millions of ballots that have already been printed. The court has said, hang on, don't do anything while we consider this case. So if the court decides we actually want to add the Green Party to the presidential ballot, or, you know, we want to add Kanye West to the presidential ballot. Those ballots have to be reprinted. It would start the process over. And county clerks said, from all over the state, they said, we're going to miss those deadlines. And some of them said it in pretty strong terms. Like in Dane County, Scott McDonald said, you know, it's going to undermine the integrity of the election if we set this thing back a couple weeks.
So you mentioned Kanye there. And the difference between where the Green Party is that their case is already before the state Supreme Court case. Kanye's case is in a court in Brown County. So we're waiting on a ruling for that case, which then could go up to the Wisconsin Supreme Court eventually as well. So it could be not only the court finding that the Green Party needs to be on the ballots that clerks are under the gun to mail out, but also theoretically, if the case gets kicked up to SCOUS, that Kanye also needs to be on those ballots.
Yeah, so we are waiting at this moment, but it might be helpful to just, again, for clarification, future John, where do people find themselves in the future as it relates to the Kanye West challenge in Brown County?
Seriously, nothing happened today.
Or thank you for that clarification, future John. We really wish you could just join us for the whole podcast. It'd be a lot easier, but maybe another time. So that is really just an added wrinkle to all of this, is that, you know, even if the court deals with the Green Party case one way or another on Friday or on Monday, there's still this other case that's kind of working its way through the system. And so it's all pushing up against these mandatory deadlines. Now, like, so if you're a voter who requested an absentee ballot and you get it a little bit later than you had expected because of this court action, practically speaking, you're still going to have time to vote before the November election. But I think the you know, missing the deadline for the military and overseas voters could be potentially bigger because it is a federal deadline. And, you know, it's going to set up more dramatic court action potentially in the future, especially if we have a close election in Wisconsin, if military and overseas voters can make the case that they were not given the time they deserve under federal law because of something that happened in Wisconsin.
So there could be more lawsuits if the ballots don't get sent out on time and meet these deadlines.
I feel like there could be more lawsuits is always a safe answer in Wisconsin. When you were talking about election law in Wisconsin, that's a good answer to just keep handy every so often, right? You know, it's often a correct answer to the question.
So we can't presume to read the minds of the conservative majority on Wisconsin's Supreme Court, but I think it, you know, it's worth pointing out, or at least wondering, why is the conservative majority helping the Green Party, which is, you know, to the left of Democrats here? I mean, I think there are partisan implications that we would be remiss not to point out, at least.
Yeah, I mean, so we in the past don't know how the court comes down on these cases, but we do know that they are open to hearing them. You know, if the Greens are on the ticket, I think there's a plausible case to be made that it helps Republicans. I mean, if you look at 2016, the Green Party candidate Jill Stein received 31,000 votes in Wisconsin. Donald Trump won Wisconsin by 23,000 votes. This is not 2016. You know, people's attitudes are different, especially toward Donald Trump, toward Joe Biden. But it's noteworthy, right? And then with Kanye West has said that his candidacy could pull black voters away from Joe Biden. Kanye West has been a supporter of President Trump. So you don't have to like wonder there. I mean, he's being helped by Republican attorneys. I don't think they'd do that if they didn't think that his being on the ballot would be beneficial in Wisconsin. And it's not just happening here. You know, Republicans have helped him in other states too. All that said, though, you know, setting aside kind of the partisan implications of this, the Green Party and like the birthday party in Kanye West's case, they have a right to sue. They have a right to challenge these elections commission decisions in court. It's just the timeline is pretty bad from an election administration standpoint, you know, to not file a lawsuit for a couple of weeks in the case of the Green Party slows things down. The Brown County case, in the case of Kanye West, it's like getting pretty close to that deadline when you have to print all these ballots and mail them in less than a week. I mean, I don't know how you do it and let the wheels of justice kind of work their way through this stuff. It's problematic. Let's just say that.
Yeah, man, Wisconsin, just, you know, proving once again to be that friend.
Yeah. You think you got your Friday night planned out and then like, oh, Wisconsin. Again.
My phone is buzzing and there's another lawsuit.
Big surprise. Sorry, I have to take this.
Yep.
So Wisconsin is our dramatic friend, but do you remember the podcast we did where we pretended that we were dating polling as journalists?
No, I don't remember that one.
They're like,
oh,
they're
yeah,
like,
yeah. You did a dramatic like reading.
Yeah. Polling is journalism's on and again, off again, significant other. And there's some... yeah, I mean, yeah. There's drama there too.
Codependence.
And this week, yeah. So this week we got a little bit more fuel to our relationship with polling in Wisconsin with a new Marquette poll. Do we want to talk about that?
Yeah, we're in that phase where we're just pretending we never broke up, right?
Yeah,
it's just great. Polls after polls. Laurel, you covered this one. What's the news?
Well, I feel like, and we can get more into the details of potentially disputing this in a minute, but I feel like kind of the message that Charles Franklin, the director of the poll, was reiterating frequently during the broadcast this week was just that he kind of felt like not a lot has changed in terms of numbers. Since the last Marquette poll, which is a really big deal because a lot of stuff has happened in the world since the last Marquette poll. The last poll was in early August. That was before the Democratic National Convention, the Republican National Convention, the shooting of Jacob Blake in Kenosha, and the unrest that has followed that. So I think that folks were, of course, watching the poll closely to see kind of where things are headed with the presidential race that's been historically really close in all the polls up to this point. But they were also looking to see if, you know, kind of these big news events with or this big news event in particular and kind of the things that followed it in Kenosha would have an effect on, you know, not only the presidential race, but opinions about, say, the governor or police or protesting. So we got some insight into that. And according to Charles Franklin, the insight was it didn't really change too much. So the presidential race in Wisconsin is still breaking news, super close. This particular poll found Joe Biden leading by 4 points, which is a decrease in his lead from 5 from the last poll.
Is that among registered voters or likely voters?
That is among likely voters. So it's a smaller sample size. The entire poll was about 800 people, and that's registered voters. And then likely voters went down to 688, I think. So 4%. I think Sean pointed this out when we were talking about kind of the rhetoric about not too much of a change over the past few months. I think it's it is interesting to mention that the last polls have been decreases for Biden. It was 6 points in June among likely voters. It was 5 points in early August among likely voters, and now we're down to 4. It's still very much, you know, working within the poll's margin of error. It was 4.3% this time. So as everybody knows, that means that either candidate can be 4 points higher, 4.3 points higher or lower, which makes a pretty big difference. I think one of the interesting things to talk about in the poll, too, is just general approval ratings. And Charles Franklin pointed out that, you know, sometimes after these national political conventions, you'll see a bump in approval because this is an opportunity for an office holder or a candidate to kind of get before their base or get before other folks and kind of sell themselves, right? Highlight all the good things that they've done or the things that they want to do, their perspective, et cetera. It has worked in the past to improve approval ratings. Not so much this time, according to this particular poll of this group of people anyway. Joe Biden's favorability rate, according to this survey, is unchanged completely from where it was in early August. It's still at 46%. President Trump's is at 44%, which is compared to 43% from early August. So no big convention bumps for either of them. And no big bumps or decreases, notably from, you know, how they've talked about or responded to the events in Kenosha either.
So I guess one thing that you mentioned, Laurel, that from Charles Franklin's point of view, his takeaway was, well, not much change here. But you could also look at it and say, well, in the last 3 polls, we've seen Biden's lead narrowing by a point each time. Mm-hmm. So you could look at that and see, like, is that a trend? Or do you just write that off as all sort of being within the margin of error?
I think it's so hard to say. I mean, my first instinct is to say, like, close is close is close. So like all of these things are within the margin of error and they're all tight margins. And it's all kind of what we expected based on what we know about the state and based on what we've seen in recent elections. It pretty much comes down to Wisconsin is pretty evenly split and that's what it's probably going to look like in November. Like this is going to be unless there's some sort of, and this is such an interesting caveat because we've
what
had
if news happens.
Right.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Happens?
What
could
if something huge
happens?
Yeah, there you go. And obviously we've had that happen. And according to the poll this month, the answer is no. So, you know, maybe something else.
I was going to say, what if something else happens,
right? And maybe
that's
that.
The thing that's gonna do it. Something we haven't even imagined yet.
Yeah. I mean, the whole state of California is on fire, and nobody's talking about that. So, well, I don't mean to laugh. It's just like it's just sort of astonishing the amount of news that we are hit over the head with on a regular basis. Can I jump into the are we close or not question? John, Laurel,
I suppose.
Just please, pretend that you asked it and I answered first. I'm just looking at this page on realclearpolitics.com, which just they sum up all the polling information for every state. So you can kind of see over time what the trends are. If you look at their page, almost every poll this year is a Biden poll in Wisconsin. So it's tightening in the Marquette poll, in the latest poll, but like it's Biden all year, aside from a few polls done by a Republican polling firm. And then like a February poll that was done by Quinnipiac, which turned out to be kind of an outlier, you know? So that's been the story of this year, if you look at the long-term trends. And we cover the Marquette poll a lot because they're the most transparent with their numbers. They're comprehensive. They're regular. But there have been other polls recently, like Fox News did a poll, showed Biden up by 8 in Wisconsin. So there is other information out there to kind of consider as you wonder, is Wisconsin close or not? Another thing that I wanted to just like throw out there came from the Larry Sabatow's Crystal Ball, which is, you know, they do basically election handicapping, right? Like, where do things stand as of today? And this is from the University of Virginia Center for Politics and Larry Sabatow. So right now they have Wisconsin as one of only 4 toss-up states in the electoral map. So it really, you know, Wisconsin, your dramatic friend, is like, it's doing it again, according to this map. And under their electoral math, Democrats currently, between safe, likely, and leaning Democratic states, Joe Biden would have 269 electoral votes. Donald Trump would have 204. And then all of the toss-ups, Wisconsin included, would give Donald Trump another 65, and they would end up tied, according to this map, if he took all of those toss-up states, which are Wisconsin, North Carolina, Arizona, and Florida. So just dramatic.
Hey, did you guys know that Wisconsin is going to be close and that it's important in the 2020 presidential election?
We should podcast about that more often.
So staying on the topic of polling, but also going back to the courts a little bit, there were also some numbers in the poll about how people feel about sending kids back to school, which then ties in with another Wisconsin Supreme Court decision that came out this week about sending kids back to school.
Yeah, so I thought this was interesting. You know, they ask a lot of questions in the poll this year anyway about COVID-19 and kind of how people are feeling about it. There was, interestingly, a decrease in the number of people who are comfortable with in-person school for the fall. So in the latest poll from this month, it said 51% of people are uncomfortable with that. That's up from 48% in August. Now, this is just kind of the general population. When you narrow it down to people who have kids, who obviously have a different perspective on the whole thing, only 44% said that they're comfortable with in-person schooling. 54% are uncomfortable. That is a pretty darn big shift from last month. So this month, 44% are comfortable. Last month, 53% were comfortable. So parents are definitely, you know, according to this poll, kind of having an evolution of thought, I guess, about whether they're okay with having their kids go and, you know, be in a classroom with others. This is a particularly interesting thing to look at this week because there was, as you mentioned, John, a Supreme Court ruling this week that strikes down a local public health order in Dane County that actually barred 3rd through 12th grade from meeting in person. So, you know, we're seeing the courts get involved in not just the elections, but kind of how this whole in-person schooling thing looks during the pandemic. And as it turns out, people have some feelings about their kids and whether or not they're going to partake in that.
Sean, you have children. What are your thoughts?
Sean, would you like to share your opinion?
Oh, sure. Here's what I think. I'll scoot the camera over there. You can see their schedules next to my desk, so I know when they're on recess. Maybe we can go for a walk. I missed recess today so that I could record with you all. You know, a couple things that stuck out to me about that decision. Real quick, one, it came on a day when Dane County had, like, by far its worst day of new COVID-19 cases. And that's tied to in-person instruction at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. It's not in, you know, K-12 schools, which have been all virtual right now, but the timing, you know, you just can't miss that timing. It was just this huge spike in Dane County cases the day that the court steps in and says, Dane County public health officer, you've gone too far. It was also noteworthy, I think, and it wasn't really the story yesterday, but the court did, in its opinion, reaffirm the power of the Department of Health Services Secretary of the state of Wisconsin to close schools under state law. The majority opinion just stated that as fact. So, you know, as we talk about what can and can't be done by the governor, by his administration, by local health officers, here is the court on a day when they say local health officers can't do that much with schools, stepping in and saying, but the state still can. You know, the governor has not said he plans to use that power when it comes to local schools, but the Supreme Court said he has it.
But just to clarify, the court also ruled that the county doesn't have that authority. So schools that theoretically want to open, I think in this case, it's like some private schools and such, can theoretically open in Dane County now?
Yeah. So private schools that want to open can open. And, you know, in theory, public schools could also open if they wanted to. But, you know, like Madison Public Schools, where my kids are probably on a Zoom lesson right now, they had decided that they were going to go to virtual instruction before this Dane County public health order was handed down. So as far as I know, it practically speaking, it doesn't affect them.
Well, there's just so much drama there. Keeps us on our toes.
Yep. That's right. You know, you got to have dramatic friends in your life to make up for your own boring existence sometimes, right? That's why, yeah, I have you guys.
Sometimes it's just a little overwhelming, both covering your dramatic friend professionally and living inside your dramatic friend.
It's true.
There are a lot of dynamics at play there, yeah.
Yeah, we are kind of inseparable, even if like we want to break it off. It's not as easy as it seems.
Well, Sean Johnson is WPR's Capitol Bureau Chief.
Laurel White is WPR's Capitol Reporter.
And John K. Wilson is our resident politics nerd.
Sure, you could spend your time watching episodes of The Bachelor or whatever it is the Kardashians are up to these days, but if you want real drama, Wisconsin drama, then subscribe to get new episodes of the WPR Politics Podcast delivered to you almost every single week. It's available on Apple Podcasts, Google, Stitcher, Spotify, and many other podcast apps. And while you're there, leave a rating or review of the show to help other people find it. And if you'd like to catch up on all of the state's past exploits, you can listen to old episodes anytime at wpr.org/politicspodcast.